So authority and power, all these things are illusions. Now we say the individual leaves here. After having 70, 80, 90, whatever it is, or less years, the entity retires. Now where does the tainted entity go? What happens to it? Does it cease? Does it pass into some kind of a Hades, as a theological entity might be considered? Does it pass into oblivion, as science would dominate, they say? What happens to it? The answer is, according to the wise, that it returns to the ocean of the race of which it is a part. It becomes again a part of the great structure of totality. But each time it comes back, it brings with it another grain of reality. Out of every life, we learn either from our action or because of our action that there is a certain truth that we are going to gradually accept. For instance, maybe for 50 lives, we have been feuding with various circumstances. We went through a certain life, we feuded with the family and went off by ourselves and died lonely. Another time, we feuded with the government, became radicals. And sometimes maybe we were executed for heresy. On another time, we were feuding with the economic system and put on great strikes and so forth. All the time, we were against something. And that being against something kept bringing us back because we hadn't learned the lesson. The more we fight, the more certainly we'll come back. Because the only answer to not coming back is enlightened peace. This is the only way in which reality can survive. But each time we go back into that source, that great collective, we carry with us germs and traces of wisdom that we have learned. Before we pass on, we have learned that the struggle was wrong. Before we pass on, we may learn that wealth was no blessing. We may have learned that intemperance was not good, or that narcotics could destroy or prevent the development of our inner lives. These things go back into the unit, and gradually the great being, humanity, gradually becomes wiser in all its parts. Little by little it grows, each individual contributing one tiny grain of truth to the construction of the entire. And in the course of time, truth will survive. And every entity in this great cycle of, we say, 60 billion, each entity will have learned the same lessons and will form a complete and perfect unity. From that time on, we will have an enlightened race. This is the race of the heroes, referred to by the Greeks. This is the eternal and divine race that occupies space, and which goes on to the next step of the great unfoldment towards reality. What is the end? The very end of it, we do not know. But we know that every part of it is perfectly organized, perfectly integrated, perfectly reasonable, and eternally good. And that the only difficulties we have are the ones we make for ourselves. The only difficulties are those in which, in our self-will, we struggle against the inevitable. As Behme, the mystic said, German mystic said, self-will, this was the fallacy for which fell the angels. So the angels represent the disobedient ones that try to stand against and create what St. Augustine calls the city of Babylon, as opposed to the city of God. But everything, that wherever there is a rebellion, it seems as though a little group of these souls, this one entity type, make little kingdoms of their own, here and there, somewhere in space, and put over these little kingdoms the various tyrannies of their own making. This is true of all the races that are developed within the great body of humanity. Each of these races is a vital organ in the structure, just as it is in the political world. But each of these separate races is separate because it has not yet achieved unity. But it may have achieved considerable advancement in certain matters. And finally, advancement brings the realization that all knowledge that is real knowledge is compatible. Advancement of self must ultimately result in the advancement of all that lives. Unless it does, these little kingdoms fade away. The little tyrants come up in the world. The little tyrants come up in the family. Little tyrants like this come up in business enterprises. Each one trying to dominate the world or dominate the little environment in which it lives. This struggle for domination is the recognition or the acceptance of separateness, the existence of the idea that each individual is working for his own salvation, for regardless of its effect upon other people. This is completely false. Everything, regardless of what it does, must work for the common good, or it will destroy itself. Therefore, all competition is really a thing in fighting itself. Competition is humanity opposed to humanity, whereas cooperation is the recognition of the unity of that which is actually indissolvable. There's nothing but unity. Unity and private pride or private enterprise for the aggrandizement of self at the expense of the rest. So we find all these factors working to produce what we call life. And a life, as I like to think of it perhaps, is a great motion towards oneness. It is a motion towards unification. A motion towards the reality of integrities. It is the individual moving with other individuals to the fulfillment of purpose. And between the individual and his ultimate goal is ignorance. And this ignorance is evil, any more than it is evil that a small child cannot work calculus. Ignorance is a natural state of things. The matter problem is that you do not educate ignorance to become more ignorant. You educate it to overcome itself. You make wisdom take the place of ignorance. Therefore, little by little, we overcome all differences, all separateness, and become what we were intended to be, one people under God. Under this purpose, we also become aware of the vast idealism at the source of everything. We do not know the nature of the infinite. We are not able to grasp that which is completely beyond our comprehension. But we have symbols of things that seem to point towards this. And the great symbols of life in religion and philosophy and art and music and even in science are symbols of this infinite purpose. All knowledge is under law. All law is under God. And the gradual realization of this can help the individual to restore the problems of his time. Today we are worried because materialism is rampant upon the earth. We fear that we will be finally destroyed by this ignorance. We cannot be destroyed by ignorance. We can only injure ourselves by ignorance. We cannot prevent the plan, but we may reduce ourselves to a very sorrowful, miserable, repentant attitude because what we have done to injure a purpose that was right and proper. The proper end of all growth is peace. It is the realization that by working together, we advance the history and nature of all life. We do not think of ourselves as being close to planets. We sit on them or live on them or we look at them through telescopes. But we do not realize the brotherhood of stars or our own union with this base firmament under which we exist. There is only this one great plan divided into numerous levels, into numerous departments to help us to meet the growth problems of existence. So if we can start in a little bit by thinking no longer that we are exterminated by death or that we go to rest in heaven for the virtues we hope we have and probably do not have, or that we return into incarnation to pay for our sins. These things are negative. They are interpretations of great truths, but the interpretations are not right, not proper, therefore do not have a validity. They're less. By misinterpretation, we create empires, and these empires fall. By proper interpretation, we create empires, and empires live. Therefore, everything depends upon building with the law instead of against it. There's no more rebellion against truth, but only a fading away from error and a recognition of the sublime dignity of the truth that we should be recognizing at all times. So that we have no more the problem of primordial sin. Ich sin is ignorance. Ignorance is inevitable to the newborn child. It doesn't know. But it contains within itself the potential of knowing. Sin may be part of the life of millions of human beings today. But this is not because it has to be. It is because they have not as yet released the constructive powers within themselves. Therefore, education is not really a cramming on of sciences. It is a release of the internal benediction of understanding, by means of which whatever we think suddenly becomes clarified into a great witness to truth and reality. All these things become essential elements of a great system, a system in which there is no failure, a system in which there is no punishment, except the individual who finally has to admit he's made a mistake and is very greatly humiliated thereby. But he has to admit that he has the wrong point of view. Now, we are working today to clear up the problems of nations. We are trying to find some way of bringing peace to nations, but it must not interfere with our private enterprises. We must have peace, but we must not in any way interfere with the accumulation of wealth or the building up of power. We must have these good things that we want, but we must not change ourselves in any way to deserve them. So what is the result? An impasse. Error cannot survive. Good has not been brought into focus. And here we continue day after day to fight between selfishness and truth. And up to now, truth has been coming out second best, because we are too concerned with the little things about ourselves. The things we haven't remembered, as is found in some of the Indian philosophies, is that there is only one of us. The human race is one being. If we cheat anyone else, we are cheating only ourselves. If we destroy something or someone else, we are destroying a fragment of ourselves. Every evil afflicts mostly the individual who causes it, because it releases into action negative factors which will help to destroy all the purposes of life. If, therefore, we can imagine ourselves as a beautiful stream of 60 billion souls shining in the light, a beautiful dream or a beautiful structure coming down from the great mountains of infinity, making the land fertile, and finally flowing into the sea, which is the mother of life. And from the sea it is picked up again and carried to the mountains. And it goes on and on. And this is the essential burden of Taoism. That in Taoism, life is like water, and it is under the control of the power of the sun. And it is this that causes it to rise, and this is what permits it to fall. But this constantly going on results in a world beautiful, verdant, well-ordered, and beautifully maintained, until the human being comes in, pollutes the water, destroys the air, and tries to achieve his own particular purpose at the expense of nature. And when he talks about nature, what is he talking about? He's talking about a whole series of these beings. Nature is made up of beings, all of which are essentially eternal and immortal. And these beings are afflicted by the selfishness of one of the beings, or one being. And so finally, the great purpose is temporarily thwarted. But the law is such that no matter how much many mistakes we make, we cannot win with mistakes. Nor can the mistakes destroy us. They can only humiliate us. They can only restore our final faith in the realities of life. In the end and in the purpose of things, they are good, even though we have trouble facing them when they occur. So we let us think of life, therefore, as a great stream of eternal power, the very life blood of deity, the infinite of space, that which is unconquerable, that which is inevitable, that which is eternal. And in this flow all the races, nations, and peoples of the earth, and they're all flowing eternally towards unity with truth, unity with beauty, and unity with love. It is only our own selfish self-centeredness that breaks us all up into wars and camps and political systems and conflicting psychological entities. There is no reason for these things. There is nothing finally except this tremendous motion of life towards the fulfillment of its own divinities. Now, when this divine life finishes itself, when we finally come to the point where all of these entities have unfolded the potential which is in them, what happens? Then, according to mythology and legendary, we give birth to another race of gods, another race of divine beings that become the parents of worlds, the parents of systems, and take their place in the great hierarchy of eternal growth that goes on forever, beyond the stars, beyond the horizons, beyond the infinite, beyond the galaxies. There is nothing. We do not know what lies beyond. We do not know the infinite good because we have not achieved the finite good as yet. But it's coming. It has to come. And in the fullness of time, we will see that we are one being flowing through time and eternity to the fulfillment of the purpose for which we were intended. We do not know exactly what that purpose is, but we know that that purpose rests in the mind and heart of the deity at the source of life. The principle at the source of life ordains that we shall achieve and shall become co-workers with the angels and the archangels in the forming and shaping of destinies for worlds as yet unformed. It is a great system of eternal growth, and we should be very glad, because there is no place in it for the infirmities of failure. They are all instances in a great success, and we must view only the great success and let that be the will of the power that we seek to serve. Well, I guess that's for the moment. Now, I'd like to make an announcement at this time. Probably many of you are aware that William Eisen, a very good friend of ours here, and many of you, a friend of the society and one of our speakers, passed away on Sunday, October 8th. Mr. Eisen was scheduled to speak here on Saturday, November 11th, on the Kabbalah. Before this lecture, that morning will be given by Isabel Kleigman, they will have a short memorial service, and we plan also to remember Mr. Eisen, who was really a very fine person, a good student, and a person dedicated to the integrities and ideals for which we are so concerned. We know you will all join with us in a brief moment of prayer or meditation to bless this soul on its journey. Let us unite for a moment. So mote it be. Another soul goes forward to new experiences in the great stream of eternal life. And that where we all belong, and in the presence of that, there is nothing to fear, everything to hope for, and a full realization that in the fullness of time, each of us will fulfill the destiny of which we were intended. So mote it be.